continue with our living the good life. Amen. The writings of John are unique among the four Gospels. And Jesus, the things that are missing from John, the book of John, is Jesus' genealogy, his birth, his childhood, his baptism, his temptation, the transfiguration, the ascension, and the parables. But things that are unique to John's book is the wedding in Canaan, the conversation with Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, the raising of Lazarus, and the man at the pool of Bethesda. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the man at the pool of Bethesda. But I want to ask you quickly, could you imagine sharing the gospel without resorting to terms like born again, being able to quote this verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Could you imagine a funeral service without access to this verse in John 11:25? "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." You see, we have John alone to thank for these kind of things. And in fact, 90% of the material in John, in the book of John, is unique to John. And that is, it is not duplicated in any form in the other three Gospels. So you say, well, why is John so different? Because, see, he has the perspective of more than a half a century of Spirit-filled living. You see, John wants to prove that Jesus is Almighty God in flesh. John wants to portray the teachings and the ministry and the actions and the reactions of Jesus in a way that shows us how to also walk in the Spirit. So when John includes a story, he does so to teach a very definite spiritual truth. We need to pay special attention to the words and the actions of John in this gospel, and they are snapshots of what a Spirit-filled man looks like. So we're going to read first from John chapter 5, 1 through 6. It says, And after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, "What wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" So at this time, Bethesda has obviously become somewhat of a healing shrine. But before we criticize this primitive belief, remember, folks, that many people in our world today flock to very similar places. Some seem to have help. Sadly, the vast majority of them do not. But the problem with Bethesda was that it seemed to work for some, but not for most. The first person into the water, the scripture said, was cured. And that is why it seems to work in life, that is the way it usually seems to work in life. There's always somebody first and someone last. And that is why we so jealously at times guard our number one status in humanity, in the human family, and in the church. We say, do it my way. Let me be first. That's how we cry, isn't it? We so jealously guard our number one status in the human family, in the church, and that is me. Do it my way. Let me be first. And hoping that if we can just get in the ideal service where everything feels just right, that we can be made whole. We are a lot like those at Bethesda. Some of us have come to services for years, always waiting for that ideal moment. We've watched others get blessed. We've watched others get saved. We've seen others get healed. And we're still laying around waiting for some help. We hear the word of God preached. And a lot of times our reactions are typical. Kind of, if you would say, blind. Well, we don't see it like you do. Word, and that word blind is also translated smoky, self-conceit, high-minded, proud. We hear the word of God preached and our reactions are typical, kind of like halt. We know you're right, but we're powerless to do anything about it. And it is also words like limping and crippled and lame. We hear the word of God preached, and our reaction is also typical of things like withered. We would like to, but we've been hurt in the past. Word is also translated by dry or shrunken or wasted. These are all things that were around the pool of Bethesda. See, John uses a summary word. And this is to describe the whole miserable mass of humanity around the pool of Bethesda. He said they are impotent. And that means feeble. They're weak. They're without strength. Just like us. They've tried so hard to be self-sufficient. But they are completely powerless to change their lives under their own power. And that is why they flock to this promised cure. If you've ever looked at church or worship, prayer, healing, salvation, like it was for them, then there is hope for you. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were yet without strength, when we were yet without strength, that means impotent, feeble, weak, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Into this atmosphere of frustration, folks, laying there by that pool, day after day after day, Jesus walks in, the Son of God, and he heads directly to one of the most senior members of the Bethesda fraternity. And his question to that man cuts straight to the chase. He says, wilt thou be made whole? The answer seems so obvious, but I want you to consider this tonight. The man had not asked Jesus for help. And a beggar of that day could lose sometimes profitable and easy income if he was cured. He would have to lose his victim mentality if he was cured. And his comfort zone. All in one swoop. And folks, that's not easy to do. But look at his answer. His answer is an excuse. I don't have anyone to put me in the pool. Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. For 38 years, I've been a victim of the carelessness. For 38 years, I've been a victim of the indifference. For 38 years, I've been a victim of inefficiency of my family, my friends, and even the church. They have all these special meetings where the waters are troubled, but it always seems like someone else gets the help. Never me. I'm just left sitting here while it happens all around me. Now, folks, Jesus knows that the man's focus is precisely the problem. Jesus knows it. Jesus knows your problem today. Amen? He knew this man's focus, his attitude, was his problem. So he bypasses the man's excuse, and he offers this man a solution. Now imagine this man staring intently toward the waters of Bethesda while Jesus stands beside him, offering him healing. Jesus is talking to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And he's staring at the water. See, Jesus offers us things, and Jesus says we can have this and we can have that, but a lot of times we're staring at the water. Get out of my way, Jesus. Don't block my view of the pool. But wilt thou be made whole? There is no attempt, folks, by Jesus to judge the man's worthiness or even his faith level. Jesus didn't look at that. See, Jesus just needs to know one thing. Are you willing? That's all he needs to know. Are you willing? Well, but God, my condition is, it's not my fault. That's not the issue. Are you willing? Amen? But Jesus, you don't know how long I've felt this way. That's not the issue. Are you willing? But Jesus, you don't know what I'm hiding. That's not the issue here. Are you willing? Jesus is still asking today, wilt thou be made whole? You see, it's like the choice Moses gave to the people that he had led for 40 years when he was on the verge of his death. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Folks, it's our choice. Moses knew, he knew, like we do, that many, if not most, of our circumstances in life are chosen. Come on. I'll say it again. Moses knew, like we do, that many, if not most, of our circumstances in life are chosen. We make unhealthy, unrewarding choices. And then we blame others for our situation. Come on. Will you be honest here today? It's our choices that we make. They're not healthy. They're not good for us. They're not what God wants. And then we want to blame others for our situation. So we can either consider ourselves the victims of this, of the intensity of others, the insensitivity of others. Or we can just square our shoulders and start making better choices. Choice is the issue. Choose life by choosing God. Amen? You see, the unspoken message in Jesus' question is that we sometimes must pay a price to be well. There are benefits to having an illness. There are benefits to having an excuse. The man by the pool didn't have to work, and someone carried him every day. Every day. He may have had other perks, but all of them paled in comparison to just becoming well. Over the years, we've built up a support system to excuse our behavior, and it's called our bed. Now, I'm not talking about your bed. Is it what we have been laying on all these years? It's your bed of excuses. It's the bed of your attitude. And Jesus says, rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. Have you ever fought the battle of the bed? Sometimes it's just plain hard to get up. Let me read this prayer. It's kind of like this prayer. Dear Lord, so far today, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't lied or cheated. I haven't been greedy or grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. And I'm very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot more help. Amen. That's by Karen Linsman. Folks, sometimes I wake up grumpy, and sometimes I let him sleep. You see, there came a point in Israel's history when they had conquered the entire promised land, except for one giant. He had a king-sized bed. All they had to do to get victory was to win the battle of the bed. In Deuteronomy 3:11 says, for only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnants of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. It is not in Reba of the children of Ammon. 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubic of a man. Jesus' command is clear. Take up what you have been laying on and walk. Say to your sin, say to your sickness, say to your symptoms, you had me, but now I have you. Just like the man at the pool, folks, when Jesus gives a command, there is power in the command to fulfill the command. It is no longer about your power, but about his power. In Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. In Revelations 22:17, and the Spirit of the bride says, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That scripture said, let him come. That's a command to hell to release anyone who is willing. Why do people wait? Why wait? Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, what dost thou? Folks, John's fourth snapshot of a spirit-filled man, he looks at Jesus rather than circumstance. He looks at Jesus rather than circumstance. What is your problem? What is your thing that you're dealing with? What is your bed situation tonight? Need to look at Jesus instead of your situation. Amen? Quit looking at the pool. Quit looking at Bethesda and say, God, I've got my eyes on you. Hallelujah. You're going to take care of this situation. I'm going to rise up, take up my bed, and walk. Amen. Let's stand here tonight. Amen. Thank you again for being here tonight. I pray that this helps you. Amen. And this, you being here, speaks to me, amen, that you want the Lord and what he has for you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you, God. We ask that you just bless each one here tonight. Let your will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.